So Ryan, where does the story begin?
On a sweltering Sunday in July, a 14-year-old super fan of basketball walked through the mailbox with me, West Hartford, Connecticut. He had 14 letters in his hand. Each one of the letters had a very simple question that he wanted to ask some of the best basketball players and coaches in the world. Can I have your autograph?
And what did you think was going to happen?
I thought absolutely nothing was going to happen. At the time, mailboxes had become a political issue somehow. The bubble were these foreign entities that we just didn't even know if mail was going to get in there. So it just felt like a worthwhile exercise that got us some walking time to the mailbox that was going to go nowhere.
And what actually did happen?
We did get a response, and it was from the last person you'd ever expect.
It's a question athletes have been asked for decades. Can I have your autograph? But in recent years, the hunt for the autograph has been replaced with the quest for the selfie. Until this year. Today, on the last day of 2020, hear the story of a 14-year-old superfan who wrote letters to players and coaches in the basketball bubbles asking for their autograph. You will never guess who wrote back. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, December 31st. This is ESPN Daily. Well, Ryan, thanks for joining me today.
Glad to be here.
Ryan Hockensmith is a writer for ESPN, and you can read his latest on the Grand Athlete Autograph Experiment on ESPN.com. So as a child of a certain age, Ryan, you had a goal. Your goal in life was to get athletes' autographs, and you had this particular method that you'd use to try and get said autographs. What is it that you would do?
Oh, I had so many techniques. Where to begin? I'll pour out the playbook. But I wrote letters to athletes. I wrote the very best letters I could. I had really good child handwriting, so it was obvious it was coming from a little kid. And it worked. It worked really well. And so, yes, I relied on the old-fashioned system of the mail to fulfill all of my athletic meeting fantasies.
And you're saying that you were successful in making those fantasies a reality.
Yeah, I had a really good success rate. I have an autograph book to this day, just of all sorts of pictures and cards and things that I got from people. I have a bunch of favorites. Like, I was a Giants fan, so I have a bunch of LT autograph pictures, and Bill Parcells sent me a note with an autograph. But I also, like, just love the NFL, so I have a bunch of Cowboys. I used to lie. I would write how much I love the Cowboys, and meanwhile, I despise them with every ounce of my being.
What about the autograph, the signature itself, felt so significant to you? Because that's kind of this almost long-forgotten concept.
As I worked on this story, I realized the selfie has just completely blown past the autograph. Like, people don't even think about autographs that much anymore. If you get with LeBron, I totally understand it. I totally get it. If I'm standing near LeBron, I want a picture of me standing there with LeBron. And the signature is sort of an afterthought. But it is a beautiful thing. Like, when you buy a house, they don't ask you, like, to complete the paperwork with a selfie, right? Like, you still have to sign a piece of paper. And so I have always regarded it as this thing that our society embraces as it's a formal announcement of, here is a piece of me. I'm going to write my name here, and it means something. And it'll always mean that for me, but I don't know that this generation of people necessarily, like, gets that as much.
So speaking of this current generation, Ryan, let's turn now to a family friend of yours, Andy Baker, and his 14-year-old son named Bentley. Tell me about Bentley and his relationship with sports.
Listen, I honestly, when I look at him, I see myself. I mean, he just loves sports in such a way. Listening to him talk about Ben Simmons not taking three-pointers, it just makes me laugh. And I just keep going, oh, tell me more. Don't stop. You know, because it's just, you see that passion in him, and his dad's a super fan too. And it's just so fun. We just sit in our backyard and talk about sports. And that's what happened in July. That was what the impetus for this story was sitting in the backyard and talking about sports.
So Bentley's this huge sports fan like yourself, Ryan, but he's also from a very different generation. So had Bentley ever tried to get an autograph from his favorite athletes like you used to?
No, I could see the look on his face. He really hadn't thought about it too much. Bentley's like kind of a shy kid, and he hasn't been near an athlete where you would have to make that decision, selfie versus autograph. But as we talked, it was clear. He said, like, hey, if I get near an athlete, I am taking a selfie. That's what I want. So he doesn't have any yet. And I still think, even after this project, that if he meets up with Jaylen Brown or another great NBA player, he's going selfie first.
But given that we are in the middle of a pandemic, there is clearly no way for anyone to get close enough to an athlete for a selfie anytime soon, or at least they shouldn't be. So what do you and Bentley and Bentley's dad decide to do? What was the plan?
Well, it was, hey, let's have you pick out your people that you want to write to and write them letters, and then we'll walk to the mailbox, we'll drop them in, and we'll see what happens. So this was the master plan, but honestly, we laughed, all three of us, because it was just like, there's no way these letters get to the athletes, right? Like, the bubbles themselves were like a perplexing island away from society. And the idea that LeBron or anybody else would be coming back to their hotel room at night and just being like, all right, let me get my hands on the mail for the day. I just didn't see it happening.
Despite your skepticism, Bentley writes 14 letters to some of his favorite basketball stars in the WNBA and NBA bubbles, asking for autographs. When did he send them off?
So in July, Bentley, his dad, and I, we walked to the mailbox. It was this like really sweaty, hot day. So we went to the mailbox, and right before he dropped the letters in, I said, let me get a picture of you. Because I thought in that moment, if something does happen here, I might have an amazing story. Like, this might be this Hollywood story about the power of mail in the year 2020. And so I took a picture of him thinking, if we scratch this lottery ticket project and it comes up golden, I might have an amazing story here.
But it's also, Ryan, it's worth noting, like, this was maybe the worst summer to test like how fast things would get through the mail, like how fast things would get delivered through the mail. Like, this was a tumultuous time for the Postal Service.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This was a moment where there was just significant slowdowns in the mail. It had become a political issue. It was a mess. And throw in the bubble aspect of this. So we thought, this thing has, the deck is stacked so hard against this project that there's almost no way these letters even arrive with these athletes, let alone have them sit down and respond to them somehow. So it felt like there were 10 reasons why this couldn't work.
So how long did it take for Bentley to get any nibbles?
15 days later, I'm getting ready for an important work call with my bosses, and he texts me, first letter is back. And I obviously said I wasn't feeling well and I couldn't come to the work meeting. Then I called Bentley immediately. All right, now I'm getting fired. But this is my last podcast, Pablo. Thanks for having me on.
It's worth it, man. It's worth it.
So I get the text, first letter is back. And I get super amped up. I immediately call him. I skip my work meeting. And he tells me the name of the person. And it is the last person I thought he would hear from.
And who was it from?
The letter was from the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs, Greg Popovich.
Coming up, how 14-year-old Bentley Baker got a response from the NBA's toughest interview.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, Ryan, you had asked your 14-year-old family friend named Bentley Baker to write to NBA and WNBA players and coaches inside their respective bubbles. And the goal was for Bentley to get autographs back from whatever characters he could. But the first person to write back was Greg Popovich. What went through your mind when you heard Bentley say that he got a letter from Pop?
Well, I had the range of emotions when he told me it was Greg Popovich. Because I got super excited that of all the people, it was Greg Popovich. And the reason I got excited is because he has a reputation as very much a curmudgeon. If you see him on TV, he likes the between halves and quarters interviews less than any person on earth.
Back for the start of the fourth quarter, Coach Popovich, your thoughts on the third quarter?
We're behind.
He's the toughest assignment you could ever get.
Pop, your observations after the first 12 minutes?
Pretty poor defense.
Thank you so much, Pop.
I mean, it's just like a nightmare scenario.
Coach, what'd you like about your defense in the third quarter?
Not much.
So when he got the letter, I thought like, wow, that's so awesome. It's so counterintuitive that you would get a heartfelt note from Greg Popovich.
And what did Pop write back to Bentley?
Beautiful handwritten note. He had taken Bentley's letter and all of the white space on this one page letter, he had written in little notes of encouragement, tips, advice. And it ran the gamut from education has to be essential to being empathetic. And then the last little white space on the paper, he wrote, "Hey, it's me again, Coach Pop. A sense of humor is mandatory." And it was like a Hallmark movie in 50 words for me. It was just like, and it was for them too. It really hit Andy and Bentley in such a way that this coach took the time to get back to this kid who wants to be a GM someday and took the time and wrote that. It just blew their minds.
Yeah, Ryan, I know writers at ESPN who've spent years, literal years, trying to get interviews with Pop. They've sent bottles of wine to him. Nothing has worked. What do you do when you receive this letter? Where does your brain go next?
So I went from 100% joy to like this pit in my stomach, because I was like, now I got to call and try to get an interview with Greg Popovich, a guy who does not want to do interviews. And I thought, boy, if I ever got him, it would be the perfect ending to the story. But I'm not. There's no way. There's just no way that an ESPN person swooping in with this interview request. There's no chance this even, if it gets to him, there's no way he says yes. It probably won't even get to him. I'm never going to talk to Greg Popovich, and I'll have a perfectly okay story, but not a great one.
So what do you end up doing for your strategy? How do you devise a plan?
I reached out to some ESPN colleagues, and Baxter Holmes said something to me that really hit home. And he said, "You got to write him a letter. Like, you got, that's a perfect thing for this story." And I thought, that's so true. And so I sat down and I typed it up, and then I sat with a notebook, and I have terrible handwriting, but I sat down and I chicken scratched out this letter from the heart about why I think this project matters, why I think his voice in it matters, the impact that it had on that kid, the impact that writing letters and sending autographs has on people in general, and sign my name and put it in a mailbox and just hope for the best.
And as you're waiting for Pop to respond, did Bentley get any letters from anyone else?
Yeah, he had that initial high of getting Greg Popovich's autograph in the letter, and then nothing for a couple of weeks. And then finally, I got this excited text from him again that he had gotten his second response. And it was this awesome autographed picture from Breanna Stewart, who was in the midst of like maybe the best basketball season of anybody playing basketball recently. She won finals MVP, swept through to the finals, best player in the league. And here's this awesome picture. She has a beautiful signature. That's the thing we ended up spending a lot of time thinking about. She has this like, it's a work of art that Bentley got from Breanna Stewart.
So the white whale is still out there. What ends up happening with Greg Popovich?
So 10 days later, after I send him that letter, I'm on my way to pick up my 15-year-old daughter at dance class, and I pull in the parking lot and I look down at my phone. Missed call, San Antonio, Texas, with a voicemail.
Ooh.
And I'm like, no, no. Like, I blew it. Oh my God. And I just remember thinking, like, please, I hope this voicemail is like an Anderson Windows spam call. Like, just make it not be Greg Popovich. And it was Greg Popovich.
Hi, Ryan. This is Coach Popovich. I was just giving you a call. I just read your letter here.
I was just gutted, and I missed the call. It's like this 30-second amazing voicemail.
I'm just trying to get back to you. So you can try me. I'm not on this phone very often.
And he tells me to be safe and go vote.
You take care, be safe, go vote.
And I remember I was in that parking lot and I was like dreading that I blew it, but also being like, I was going to vote, but I definitely have to vote now. Greg Popovich told me I have to vote. I'm 100% going as soon as the polls open. But I sat there in the parking lot waiting for my daughter to come out, and I called the number back and it went to a voicemail, a woman's voice at AT&T Center. And I just thought, I'm going to leave this frantic voicemail, which I did. But there's no way, like, it's over.
I mean, Greg Popovich reached out to a journalist at long last. The journalist ignored the call. I feel like that is where this story should end. But what ends up happening?
Basically, I lived with my phone. I stood in the shower with my phone for the next 24 hours. I mean, I took it everywhere. This thing was a part of my body at that point. And I just was not going to miss the call. Next day, 2:30 p.m., I had saved that number from the AT&T Center just in case. I saved it as Spurs in my phone. And I'm sitting there during a work meeting, and I see it starts to ring, and it says Spurs. And I can't believe it. I pick up the phone. It's Greg Popovich.
Good. What can I do for you?
Well, I was blown away. So was Bentley about... You know, you took the time to write that letter back to him.
And we just have this beautiful 12-minute conversation about the power of mail.
I love writing handwritten letters. Is that something that's a part of you also?
Yeah, I think it makes everything special, especially in today's world. I hate Zooms. I hate emails. I despise texting because I have to respell things 50 times. And it just, but when you sit down and you write a note to somebody, it's like reading a book in your hand instead of the Kindle.
The connection between fans and athletes, and just this idea of expressing care to other human beings using a pen and paper. It was a remarkable 12-minute conversation for me.
I'm hanging on every word, so I don't want to take up your whole afternoon.
I'm just hoping that he does well, and I'm glad that you were able to continue to, you know, make him smile. So you guys both take care of yourselves, and I wish you the best with your career.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
So eventually you get to actually meet back with Bentley and his dad, Andy, and show them, play for them, actually, what Greg Popovich had to say. What was Bentley's reaction?
They couldn't wait. I went over to their house. We sat out in their front lawn, socially distanced, and chairs all bundled up, and leaves are falling and hitting us in the head. And they just were ecstatic. And it was an interesting setup because I put the phone on the ground in front of the three of us. So if you drove past, you saw three potential lunatics staring at the ground in awe as we listened to my interview with Greg Popovich. And we treated it like a audio version of the Zapruder film. I mean, we were rewinding and listening again. And wait till you hear this. And I put it on the ground and I played it. And they both of them just smiled. I just looked at their smiles as they listened to him talk about this letter and writing letters in general.
I do enjoy when I get a letter from, you know, a youngster and he or she, you can tell, genuinely wants to have a picture or your autograph.
It was a freezing cold day and I wasn't cold because I just felt warm all over. It was really hokey, but also amazing.
I have to prioritize, so anybody that writes will have to wait unless, you know, it's really something that I think should happen quickly, like here with Bentley.
What did Bentley say?
I stopped it and I just said, so what do you think, man? And he's a quiet 14-year-old kid and
wasn't expecting too much, to be honest, because they're just busy people, obviously. Like, hard to explain.
He just kind of stared off into space and he just had the smile on his face. And I mean, the gist of it was he said, I can't stop smiling. I can't stop smiling.
And 2020, Ryan, is this year when everybody has felt disconnected more than ever. What do you think this all says about where all of us are in probably the hardest, strangest year we can remember?
You know, I'm surrounded by Zooms these days. Like every version of community that I have, whether it's friends or work or family members, you're staring at a computer, you know, and you're instantly clicking buttons to try to tell somebody that you love them. And it works. It works pretty well. But the letter, it just remains this old school way of staying connected. And for when you think about sports and fans, like, I just don't know the next time a fan will be within 6 feet of Aaron Rodgers, unless it's like some weird thing that happens at a grocery store. You know, it's just not going to happen. So this idea of grabbing an envelope, a pen, a paper, and a stamp, and maybe, just maybe, getting a little piece of that person back and having that interaction, it's something that I hope this project sort of instigates for people. Maybe, just maybe, the old school letter is your way to really tap into that interaction.
Ryan Hockensmith, thank you so much for bringing a smile at the end of 2020.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, up next, I want to wish 2020 an official final goodbye.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here's another story I want you to know. The late Amos Tversky, the renowned psychologist and expert in human decision-making, convinced himself to be an optimist. And his case against pessimism is the one quote I can't stop thinking about right now on New Year's Eve. "When you are a pessimist and the bad thing happens," Tversky said, "you live it twice. Once when you worry about it, and the second time when it happens." This year was pretty much defined by the bad things lived twice. And if your brain is a little more like mine and a little less like Tversky's, you may also be worrying very pessimistically about next year's bad things already. But thinking about the next year in sports, Tversky's decision to be deliberately and rationally optimistic kinda nudged me. I realized something honestly jarring. If we assume optimistically that vaccination is finally going to contain this highly contagious virus, America is going to reopen at some point, and safely. And that will be the story of 2021. And the national climax of that story will be one day in specific. It'll be that day when we get to go to a real, live, post-viral game. A game with a crowd at capacity, and ushers, and hot dog vendors, and t-shirt cannons, and other human beings who used to be sour on the basic proposition of attendance pre-pandemic, complaining about lines, and sight lines, and traffic, and parking, and the hot dogs, and each other, but not anymore. For a second here, just allow yourself to imagine that sound. Imagine what it'll be like to be around so many people when you walk into a stadium. Allow yourself to live that sound many months before it happens, whenever it happens, but it will happen. It's that sound that grows louder with every step forward, like the crashing hiss of a human ocean. Always so much louder than you remember. It's that sound that'll be even better when you get to live it in person for the very first time again. I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. Have a happy new year.